Time now to talk about the timeline for the new Children's Hospital. And earlier, Caoimhe spoke to Sinn Féin health spokesperson David Cullinan on this.
Now, Sinn Féin is calling on the government to make a timeline for the opening of the National Children's Hospital. Public, I'm joined on the line now by Sinn Féin health spokesperson David Cullinan. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
David, tell us about this.
Well, at the Public Accounts Committee, we got the new projected timeline for the completion of the hospital. And unfortunately, it is bad news that it now won't be completed until October 2024, which is a five-month delay on the last update that we got, which was only a few months ago. So this project has been plagued by delays for a long number of years. We know the hospital was due to be completed by 2022. And every time a program update is given from BAM, the contractor, to the development board, it seems to be further delay, time frames pushed out, and now we're facing into October 2024. And what that means in terms of the opening of the hospital, that's the handover to the board, who will then make sure that all of the staff can be brought in. There has to be training, there's commissioning of equipment and so on. We know that that will take at least 6 months, so it seems it will be the middle of 2025 before this hospital is open and open to patients. So obviously an additional 5 months of a delay is not good news. What we don't know yet is what additional costs may be incurred. And it's quite obvious at this stage that the overall price tag for this hospital will be about 2 billion euro, which is way above budget. So again, when we have discussions on the National Children's Hospital, it seems to be delay, delay, delay. More costs and cost overruns. And obviously that's not good news for the children who need this hospital built as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Not good news for the children, but one might say, David, that it was out of the government's control. You know, it comes down to the contractors, BAM. Maybe they want, you know, the government washing their hands of that. What would you think?
Well, we had a Mazars report that was commissioned by government when Simon Harris was the Minister for Health. And that was a very scathing report and scathing of the previous government's approach to this project in terms of governance, the type of contract that was put in place, the lack of engagement between government and the board. And in my view, many of the lessons that should have been learned from that report haven't been learned. I had asked through Freedom of Information requests for any information or any notes of any minutes that took place between the current Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, and the senior executive members of the Children's Development Board, and Hospital Development Board, rather. And for the entirety of last year and for the first quarter of this year, there was no meetings. So if you have a minister that takes a hands-off approach on such a crucial project where we know that there has been very serious cost overruns and very lengthy delays, then that adds to the lack of trust, confidence and accountability in relation to themselves. But I think if you look at the evidence of this project, it's probably going to cost three times or four times the amount that it was originally intended to cost. It's going to cost probably over 2 billion euro. The hospital was due to open in 2022 and now at the very earliest won't open till 2025. And even this new completion date that we were given, we have to bear in mind that this is the fifth completion date that we've been given. There is still no guarantee that even that date will be met. And that's the concern that we have. So this has been a long-running saga, a long-running crisis. I wanted to come to an end. I want the hospital built. We can't afford more cost overruns and we can't afford more delays. So the responsibility to deliver the project on time and as best we can from here on in on budget obviously lies with the Minister for Health and the Paediatric Hospital Development Board to ensure that we can have all of that as quickly as possible.
Okay. Obviously, Stephen Donnelly, the Minister for Health, do you think the blame lies with him then? Because in fairness, if there keeps being cost overruns from the contractor, is there much that Stephen Donnelly can do?
Well, I think that the first thing that the Minister has to do is to make sure that he's in regular contact with the board. So there is a governance arrangement now in place between the Paediatric Development Board and the department and the Minister. So, of course, the outsourcing of the delivery of the hospital is with the Paediatric Development Board. But the Minister's job is to make sure that that board is doing its job, that BAM are being put under pressure to complete the project, that there is no further delays. And if there are delays, then the minister needs to be identifying, well, why that's the case. I'm certainly not going to make excuses for this government or for previous governments. They can obviously justify their positions in terms of all of this. But the vast, vast majority of people listening to this programme know that the Children's Hospital has been a disaster. And I don't have to tell them, because they can see it in terms of the cost overrun, the lengthy delays. And this recent, most up-to-date completion date that we've been given is 5 months more than the last one we got only in the summer of this year. So clearly there are problems, clearly there are challenges. And yes, there is fault that can be placed at the feet of the contractors as well. So there's plenty of blame to go around. But what I'm interested in at this point in time is how do we move the project on? And I said during the summer, when again this issue came to the forefront, that the minister needed to get to grips with what was happening, have regular meetings with the board, make sure that we have a completion date that we can have confidence in, make sure that we can settle all of the issues in relation to costs, provide some certainty in relation to when the hospital will be open and treating patients. Obviously, you know, more delays obviously means that there is more slippage, and I'm concerned about that. But my primary concern isn't to attack Stephen Donnelly or any minister in government. My primary concern is to make sure this hospital is open as quickly as possible, because I know when it is open, it will provide really fantastic additional capacity for children's healthcare, and we all want to see it open as quickly as it can possibly be opened.
Okay, David, if you were Minister for Health in the morning, what would you be doing then to move it along? What could actually be done to move it along? And because it's easy to say, you know, to put BAM under pressure. Really, would that work?
Well, I think you have to go back a little bit, because obviously I'd have to start with where we are now. But certainly there are things in the past I wouldn't have done. But right now, I think if I was the Minister for Health, I would be having very regular meetings with the Paediatric Development Hospital Board. I would be trying to settle the outstanding claims, obviously in the interest of the taxpayer, but also because at some point all of these outstanding claims that essentially were put on hold hasn't been helpful. So there are thousands of claims which the contractor have submitted. I'm assuming that all of those, some of them can be challenged and have been challenged. But I think it would be better if we had a negotiation between the contractor and the department and the Paediatric Hospital Development Board and settle this, obviously in the interest of the taxpayer, but also to move the situation on. And then it's the minister's job to identify where the blockages are. So one of the things that the board told the Oireachtas Health Committee a number of months ago is that the contractor were not deploying sufficient resources. Well, if that's the case, I think that has to be called out, and the minister has to call it out. And I haven't heard that coming from the lips of the minister. So there are things I would do. There are maybe some things outside of the minister's control. But I go back to what I said at the very start of the interview. There was a Mazars report that was done by the previous government that actually caused the last general election, if you remember. That's what caused the last election when there was a potentially a motion of no confidence in Simon Harris. And that was a scathing report of the failure of government, the failure to have proper controls in place, governance arrangements. And I genuinely don't believe that enough lessons have been learned. But again, as I said, I don't want to be pointing the blame. There's plenty of it to go around, and your listeners can make up your mind if they believe the government have done a good job on the Children's Hospital. But where we are now is we need to ensure that this latest completion date that we have is the very last one, that it will be met, and that the hospital will open in mid-25, because I think any further delay will have a detrimental impact on the healthcare of children.
Okay. Would you be confident, David, that it will open in the new deadline?
Well, I think I'd be very foolish to say that I have confidence in any of the dates that we have been given or are given now, given all of the previous dates have not been met. And that will come down to the questions that you've just put to me, the competency of the board, the ability of the board to ensure that the programme of works and the programme update it got from the contractors can actually be met. Obviously, the influence of the Minister for Health, but equally, there is a responsibility, of course, on the contractor, and the contractor has to make sure that they deploy sufficient resources to ensure that the project is completed. So there are lots of stakeholders here, from the contractors building the hospital, the board overseeing it, the political oversight coming from the minister. But even with all of that we're told is in place and has been in place, we've had so many shifting timelines and so many cost overruns that it would be very foolish for any politician to say 100% those beds will be met. I can only hope that they will. And the point I was making is I do sincerely hope this is the last updated completion date that we will receive. I hope that that completion date of October 24 is met and that the hospital is open in mid-25. And any further slippage, as I said, it would be unacceptable and will impact on the outcomes for children in terms of their healthcare.
Okay, it remains to be seen. Sinn Féin Health spokesperson David Cullinan. Thanks very much, David, for joining us this morning.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, just to catch up then on some of the messages, Donal has just texted in to say we have no water in the Great Connell area, and he says, can you kindly see what the problem is as we got no notice? Well, I'm just looking here on the Ishka Éireann website, and yeah, there appears to be reports of supply disruption to Great Connell, but also some of the other areas around Newbridge, such as Lakeside Park, out around Pearstown as well. So a lot of Newbridge maybe without water this morning. Irish Water say that it is investigating those reports and are trying to establish the reasoning why, and will update further. So if you go on to water.ie, you should be able to follow what's happening there. On that, by the way, out in Strafford, Salins and Clane tonight, leak detection works are being carried out from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the morning. So if you usually have your shower at around 2 o'clock in the morning, you won't have water. Irish Water recommend that you allow 2 to 3 hours after the estimated restoration time for your supply to fully return. Let's go to the south of the county. Fianna Fáil councillor on the Athy Municipal District, Brian Dooley, is with us. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Owen, and good morning to your listeners.
You wanted the council to initiate the design of a master plan for the Dominican lands in Athy. With the Blue Way soon to open, the area will need to include proper car parking, access and signage to the town, and an area for camper van services to access. Very, I suppose, ambitious, Brian, and much needed, though, you would argue. What did the council say?
Yeah, and listen, a positive answer, Owen, and it is definitely ambitious. But what they've come back and they basically said that the public realm team, they'll have the master plan completed by the year end. And I suppose there were a few different stages. The first stage of all of this was buying the Dominican Church from the Dominican Order and turning it into a library, a fantastic library now, probably one of the finest in the country. Now it's up to us to look for a design around that area, particularly around parking, signage as you're coming off the Blue Way, and then accessibility for people to go from the Dominican lands, because there's also going to be a development of over 30 houses for elderly people there as well through the Clwyd housing company. They have plans in for that at the moment. So all of these things need to come together, and I think that's why we said we really do need a master plan. So listen, the documents that we've received so far from the site specific flood risk assessment and then the development of the master plan, it is going to happen, and we'd hope to have something in paper by the end of the year. So that's really positive for the town.
When is it envisaged that the Blue Way will fully open, Brian?
I would say Q2 next year. It'll be fully opened. What we're seeing in the town of Athy, anyway, Owen, is we're open now from what was, I suppose, the walk from the canal, Lock 27, down as far as Vicarstown is nearly complete. So, slowly but surely, we're getting there. So the last works will be probably from the Athy side through the pedestrian bridge, going to go in from the Kilkenny side of the road over to the Hurstbridge side. So that'll be the last major piece of works to go in there.
You'd hope that the opening of the Blue Way and the Greenway here in Kildare will bring tourism into our towns and villages, Brian, and I know that you wanted the council to secure money each year to promote tourism and breaks along the Blue Way.
Yeah, absolutely, and it is. It's one of the motions that I've had that I have in on, and I think it's particularly important with the investment that we have in Blue Way, the investment that we're going to see in tourism, in particular in South Kildare, that we also have someone in a position to lead it. And again, the council have come back with another positive response. I was getting loads of positive responses this week that they're actually going to go out into the marketplace and they're going to employ a person through the Just Transition funding as well as other fundings to be to promote the Blue Way, to support businesses on the Blue Way. So that is really, really positive. And I think it's going to be well needed right throughout the whole county, Owen. In particular, when you see the way the Greenway has worked down in Waterford and stuff, and the way that they put their shoulders to wheel down there supporting businesses. And it's not just tourism from outside of Ireland. It's also that local tourism that people are going for a day off during the week. They're doing their walk. They're walking the 42 kilometres. I think it's a really exciting time, and I'm looking forward to seeing that person in position in the next number of months.
Okay, good stuff. Any update on the timeline for the Emily Square redevelopment?
No update just yet, Owen. We're still pushing ahead with Emily Square. The council have gone out looking for increased funding. You'll see that tender documents are in progress, and that they're looking for additional funding. So they've requested additional funding through what's called RRDF, Rural Regeneration Development Funds, and also from Just Transition funding. So we would be hopeful that in the next number of weeks we'll get confirmation that that funding is in place for ourselves. That project is probably going to be, to do the square, about 3.1 million is what you're looking at, Owen. So as councillors, we would be very hopeful that we'll see that come to fruition in the next number of weeks, and that a tender will be put out.
Okay, and finally, Brian, did the council outline for you how many residential units it owns in the Athy Municipal District that are waiting on works to be carried out for over 2 years plus?
Yeah, I have to thank them for coming back to me. Basically, they've said that there is just the one unit in the Athy MD that has been vacant for over 2 years. And I suppose what I have seen, and the reason I raised this question on, is I identified one property that has, that is in ownership of the council, but it has been vacant for several years now.
Does that seem a little bit low to you then, Brian? Just one? Because there'll be some people in Athy who might say that there are a number of housing units, not only in the town, but around the area, that have been vacant or derelict for quite some time. So just one that's been vacant for over 2 years.
Yeah, and I probably would go along with them in regards that it is just one, because we would get a vacant housing report every month on, and we would see the number of houses in the Athy MD that would require works. For instance, major works in the Athy MD is about 17 houses, minor works is 4 houses. And that goes across Athy, Ballitore, Ballyroe, Castledermot, Castleroe, Kilmeade, Narromore. It goes right across the MD. Mm-hmm. So, again, we would be looking for those numbers to come down every month that houses have been handed back into stock. I suppose when you look at the overall Kildare County Council, the council owns 6,192 dwellings in total in their stock, and about 1.94% of those are vacant at the moment. So, in fairness, they have a very quick turnaround. Some of the works can take a little bit longer. The one that I was looking at, the particular house that I was looking at, it came from a capital programme on. It's been vacant for a number of years now. It's a bit of an eyesore. Well, it's more than a bit of an eyesore. It is an eyesore. Mm. But I've looked for the council to give me a plan for it. And the plan will be that house will actually be regenerated into housing for older persons. So you will, instead of having one house, it will be regenerated into four units where people will be able to be supported, self-sufficient and so on and so forth. So that's why it's taken a bit longer. But we'll keep pressing on it, to be honest with you, because I know the neighbours around that particular house are not happy.
Right. Before I let you go, Brian, good news in Athy. We spoke to some of the other councillors earlier in the week. The flood relief scheme now going to be designed, and much needed and well welcomed, I'm sure, by businesses and people living in the area.
Well welcomed by everyone, Owen. And I think all you have to do is look at the pictures that were coming through on social media over the last 36 hours, in particular down in Cork. It shows the changing climate is bringing new challenges for councils and local authorities. We're very fortunate that we're a little bit ahead of this, and hopefully the assessment works, they'll be able to identify what's required, where there's barriers to stop river breaking, or whether it's the purchase of land to allow water to flow into. So there's a few areas of concern around Athy in particular, and you'll also see the fact now that with the new road opening, it's going to allow us a bit more time to carry out the works in town. Our new road, and I'm sure you saw this yourself, it opens up on the 31st of October, Tuesday the 31st of October at 7 p.m. So the road that's taken so long to get, hopefully it will add some relief to the town as well. But that'll allow us then investigate the areas of flooding around the town, because there's a lot of housing estates owned that never flooded that are falling into this flood risk area, and it's increased pressure on the owners of the houses to get insurance quotes and stuff like that. So it is a particularly important point for us.
Okay, good stuff. That is Fianna Fáil councillor on the Athy Municipal District, Brian Dooley, with those local issues down around Athy. We'll be going to councillor Ivan Keatley in the next couple of minutes, so stay tuned for that. A few of the messages though that have come in to us, some people in Newbridge just echoing the message that we got in from Donal, saying that they're without water in parts of the town. So Donal is out in Great Connell. There's also Margaret, who's tuned in around Rosebery, without water, and Paul, who's listening to us in Lakeside Park, saying he has no water. Irish Water or Ishka Éireann aware of the problem. They say they are investigating those reports of loss of supply. Also, Teresa has texted in, welcome back, Owen. Hope you had a nice time at the wedding. I did indeed. Thanks for that, Teresa. Also, Lizzie and Bridie Nolan sending in those messages. Appreciate those. And finally, before we take a quick break, to let you know that incident on the N7 just at the turn off for Rathcoole is still causing some delays there on the way into Dublin city centre. Traffic is moving but slow there at Rathcoole. So as I've been saying to you throughout the morning, if you're in Naas, Kill, Castle Warden, Johnstown, any of those areas, and you're on the N7, you might be better off getting off and diverting around through Rathcoole in terms of that. Right, after the break we're going back to the Athy Municipal District with Ivan Keatley.
Kildare Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Now, just to let you know that more witnesses are to be called before the Aisling Murphy murder trial this morning. 33-year-old Joseph Pushka of Linalee Grove, Mucklagh, County Offaly, denies murdering the 23-year-old school teacher on the 12th of January last year. Yesterday, the trial heard from two women out for a run along the Grand Canal near Tullamore, one of whom said that they saw a man crouching over a girl. The trial continues before the Central Criminal Court this morning, and it is to last for up to 5 weeks. More on that throughout the day on our news bulletins here on KFM. Let's go back then to the south of the county and the Athy Municipal District, where Fine Gael councillor Ivan Keatley is with us. Good morning, Ivan.
Morning, Owen. Thanks for having me on.
You were looking for Kildare County Council to carry out a compulsory purchase of land at the bend at Usk. This is on the Dunlavin-Kilgowan Road, and you say this is to alleviate the road safety issues at this location. Tell us more, Ivan.
Yeah, look, I received a report from Dave O'Flaherty, our area engineer, and I suppose at the outset, quite a lot of our meeting was taken up as it was Dave's last meeting, so I just want to wish Dave the very best in his retirement. He's over 40 years of service done for Kildare County Council and as our local area engineer in Athy, and he's done a fantastic job. And I suppose the area around Usk, Brule, Gormanstown is no exception to that work on. There has been extensive road resurfacing done on the road from Kilgowan as you head towards Dunlavin up around Gormanstown. Brule, as I said, has had some, and this road is almost 80%, I would say, resurfaced, and it is only at this pinch point, which is just inside the Wicklow border, where there has been considerable angst. And this road, Owen, has gotten extremely busy over the last couple of years because, as you'll be aware, St. Kevin's in Dunlavin is now the main secondary school for the entire Narramore, Calverstown, Kilgowan area, if you like, in Kildare. And all of that traffic, school buses, teachers, school kids, etc., at 9 o'clock in the morning, again at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, this road is extremely busy, particularly at these times. And this point, I've had this motion down now on a number of times, and little has been done. We need to sit down now with the landowners to find a long-term solution. The council have committed, and I'm hopeful that the new area engineer, as soon as they're appointed now later this month, will visit that site with me and get that thing sorted point in the road. So, as I said, 90% of that road has been done, and on the Wicklow side as well, has to be said. I know I've been in touch with Councillor Avril Cronin in Dunlavin to have Wicklow County Council complete a lot of work on that road as well. So it would be a shame if this point wasn't sorted out and it overshadows the rest of the good work that has been done.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear that there's work being done on both sides. I'm just looking at it here on the map and it is straddling the Wicklow-Kildare border, so important that both councils look at it. You also wanted a completion date for the works to be carried out in Narramore Village. Did you get that completion date?
Yeah, well, thankfully, on Monday, the footpath that borders the car park for the old hardware and for Molly's restaurant and pub was being resurfaced on Monday. That has since been completed. And again, thanks to Dave and his office, all of the roads into Narramore are now completed in terms of resurfacing. And we've one small area around the public realm that is to be completed. And we have a relatively small amount of work to be done. There's been great work done on the Oak Road coming in. As I said, around the old hardware, we've allocated a considerable portion of LBT money to the Narramore Development Association to have the car park completely resurfaced. And as I said, there's a small area now just across from the car park, Owen, you'll be familiar with it. I know we had Clem out there with the outside broadcasting unit a number of months ago as well, and I was going through it with him. And again, it's a small area that needs to be done. And again, this is going to come down to the new area engineer. But as I said, again, 95% of the work has almost been completed there now.
Right. Finally, Ivan, did the council give you an update on the review of parking in Castledermot?
Yeah, look, we had the person responsible, Mark McLaughlin, into us last month to give us an outline as to what needs to happen. And essentially, he's looking now for the consent of the members. I could only put down a question on this issue and not a motion to be able to take a vote on carrying out the parking review, because there's a number of issues around Castledermot, again, that you would be familiar with, Owen, particularly around the playground, but also up around the credit union, the medical centre. There are a number of issues there that need to be sorted out in terms of parking for vulnerable people and parking for families. And the response basically tells us that we need to take a vote on this, and the executive, as a reserve function, will carry out the review. And we're hopeful that that will begin in early spring. So I'll be bringing a motion to next month's meeting again, so we can officially take a vote on this, so we can, as I said, so bureaucracy doesn't get in the way of carrying out a full review of the parking around Castledermot.
That's Fine Gael councillor Ivan Keatley on the Athy Municipal District. Thanks for joining us, Ivan, and good morning. I'm just looking here at an article on the Irish Independent, by the way, Darren Nolan writing, saying a Met Éireann meteorologist has admitted that, in quotes, maybe we need to do a little bit better, while discussing why a status red weather warning wasn't issued for the south of the country yesterday. Of course, that storm that moved in dumped over a month's worth of rain in less than 24 hours, swamping drainage systems and causing severe flooding in parts of Cork, Kerry and Waterford. Head of forecasting Owen Sherlock, speaking to RTE, said that the forecaster plans to change the thresholds for weather warnings to reflect climate change. However, he said an orange warning is quite dangerous. He also said there's only 1 or 2 millimetres between an orange rainfall warning and a red rainfall warning. I think maybe there's an education piece, and ourselves at Met Éireann, maybe we have to do a little bit better in this area. Well, you look at the storms and the flooding down in Cork, where cars are essentially half submerged by water, and you ask the question, how was that not status red? And yet, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had status yellow, was it, or status orange? And there was only an old dribble of rain that came out of the sky. So, I think certainly needs to be looked at there. He also explained that Met Éireann looks back over weather in recent decades to evaluate which weather events are at the highest level warnings. He says every 10 years we look at climate averages. What that means is we look at what's happened over the last 30 years, so between 1991 to 2020, and then we do some analysis. But some of the photographs and videos from Cork were just shocking. absolutely shocking what happened there. And, you know, it also begs the question, and I saw some people talking about social media saying that we're just not prepared for events like this. You know, drainage systems couldn't cope. We had roads and bridges collapsing. I saw a photograph of one car that essentially fell into a big hole on a bridge because it just collapsed and caved in under the pressure. Just a message in here as well. Trish Proctor, she sends me in with a load of angry faces saying, early spring, the many problems are going on for years in Castle Dermot. We're the forgotten town, according to Trish Proctor. Thanks for that message, Trish. Also, we had another listener saying, if anyone is walking their dog around Newbridge there, the Athgarvan Road, beware, because there's a loose dog there that is apparently quite vicious and was attacking other dogs. So just keep that in mind. Also, a listener says, I see the fraudulent texts are back in full flow. Last week, they were pretending to be Vodafone. This week, they're pretending to be AIB. So be aware of that. Joe says that he came back from his holidays over in Albufeira last night. All the signs on the M50 were saying 80 kilometres. My son was doing that, but you should have seen the rest of the lunatics. You couldn't see through the rain people driving with fogged up windows, says Joe. And finally for now, one more asking whether or not that crash on the N7 has cleared, because they're on the way up to Dublin, just about to leave the house. And I can tell you that it is moving, but still slow around Rathcoole. So there's an incident there at the exit for Rathcoole, and traffic is moving fine up until you hit that exit for Rathcoole. Slows down there, so just keep that in mind.